of Jannah and go through the scriptures. They will act for revelation knowledge of the one who is in the world. Insight comes for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Error is dispelled. Clarity comes to our mind as your word is taught and received. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus came to speak to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So when he says, "Go make disciples," is a word that is in the Greek multitude. You know something? While I was studying in the early hours of the morning, I was very early, around 2 a.m. Something dropped while I was studying. He was a pastor. He must never be tired of repetition. It's a sign of your love to your flock. It's a sign of love. You must learn to repeat things. It's part of this. One thing that I have, I've built my life, my pastoring on it. I have always watched for the period I try, the period. Or let me not say the period when, because I have not had any of that, but it's a principle I've built around myself. Whenever I feel, or whenever it gets to that I feel that I'm getting tired of repetition, then I know I'm backsliding. There is a fact of shouldn't be tired of repetition. And the listener should also be tired of hearing repetition. Peter would say, for me to write the same thing again to you is for your good. Do you understand? So repetition is how you know you are growing. Are you hearing me? So when you begin to have itching ear for the same thing being said to you over and again, and how do you know you already have itching ear? When it is said to you, you cannot write it. Hallelujah, I say, I know it. Hallelujah. And let's write it again. Me that I'm teaching you, I write it always in my notes. My notes is like it's like a book. I write it again. I don't go and carry another note and copy it. No. I will open the scripture. I'll open Matthew 28 every time I want to write from there. And look at it again. I don't write, I don't think I have ever written Matthew 28 or write Psalms Matthew 28 and would write it without looking at it wrong. Even if I can quote it, even if I can quote scriptures, I must open it. Hallelujah. You can't find me studying without my Bible. What am I studying? I will open the scriptures. I will open them. In fact, sometimes I will even read pretexts down that before I even get to where I want to get to. Never get tired of doing the same thing again. No. Yeah, I'm not reading the Bible, so what do you want to read now, Quran? No, you must read it again. You must read it again. Amen. I remember one time I said something, and I said, see,
I'm bored. Bored, not bored, I'm bored. I've been reading.
Okay, I have to read it again. Hallelujah. Because that is the point of growth.
See, growth comes when you pass that stage of excitement. Excitement is not growth. Hypolysis is not growth. Stop. It's when you have to do it again. You know, we have a guy. Even that same spirit, he read it again. Hallelujah. He read it again. Yeah. He's looking what? Read it again. Hallelujah. Keep reading. Hallelujah. Excitement is not growth. At all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The day reading scripture I get bored, then I know I'm backsliding. Because I will have to read it again. You know, I've told myself, even if I don't feel like I read, have to. There are necessities laid on me. And I don't rush. I read other books with rush. I don't think when I read my Bible. No, I take my time. How old am I? Glory to God. I take my time. I still have years and decades ahead of me. So, what are you rushing to? Glory to God. While I was studying or something I wanted to write, I asked myself, why are you rushing to take it? Even to myself, I wanted to write something, I'm like, no, take the time. Why are you rushing to? Let's take the next 5, 10, 15 years to think over those things again. So why are you rushing? There's no need to rush. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So never get tired of writing my picture in your notes. Let all your notes come by the 2 years. My pastor's not teaching. Hallelujah. So that's the word matthew. It's a word that implies the act of enrolling one in a citadel of learning, where he is trained to becoming a scholar in the field of training. Please mark that out in the field of training. He's not trained to becoming a scholar in another field. No, in that field where he's trained. Hallelujah. So, how do you know he's a scholar? Being a scholar will imply he will have to train others. Did you see that? He has acquired the skills. He'll have to train others. He'll have to train others in the same field he has been trained. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It is today seen as the act of apprenticeship, you know what we call apprenticeship, where one is given to a master and he learns a particular trade, and when he's done or he sees, he too begins to train others. Did you see that? So it goes on like that. Hallelujah. So discipleship becomes very essential in the Christian practice. Discipleship. When a man is born again, you read it, make disciples. So it means when a man is born again, he is a disciple, irrespective of who you are before you got saved. You become a learner. That's the word. It's on the word matthew, a learner. An apprentice. So you can be a chartered anything, but once you say it, you are a learner. You are a learner of the doctrine of Christ. In Matthew 13 verse 62, okay. Yeah, read. It says, then he said to them, therefore, every scribe, are you? The word scribe is the word scholar. Every scholar instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. So every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder. Hallelujah. That is the word instructed. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that means that scribe, that is that scholar, when it comes to the kingdom of God, becomes a learner. Are you following me? In Matthew 27:57, we'll find another man who is called Joseph of Arimathea. Verse 67. Now when the evening has come, there's a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. He said, who himself had also become a matitio of Christ, a learner of Christ. Are you following me? He's a rich man and he is a learner. Did you see that? In Acts of Apostles, chapter 14, verse 21. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. He said, when they preached the gospel and had taught, that is the word disciple, and had taught many. Many. That word many is the word you can use for multitude. And had taught multitude. Taught many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many in a city became learners. Therefore, in Christianity, everyone is a learner. Everyone, irrespective of who you are, societally, you are a learner. Hallelujah. And also, when the word matitio is used, in the background is a gathering. When the word matitio is used, in the background you find a gathering. Hallelujah. So therefore, you can say effective discipleship is carried out in a gathering. Effective discipleship is carried out in a gathering. No one gets discipled on his own. It's carried out in a gathering. So, disciples, so a disciple is brought to other, if disciple is brought to a gathering where other disciples are, hallelujah, so they can grow together. Hallelujah. That's why I always tell people, it's good, yes, to have a disciple you have discipling, but you know what? You can do better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can bring down a disciple, bring down a disciple to a gathering of believers. You know why? You know why? Because it shows that, you are introducing them to a new kind set of friends, a new set of believers, a new set of cliques. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So it's always wise when you are following up a disciple, you bring the disciple to hear what you are hearing. And also to be among believers. That's one of the good a good thing you can do for a disciple. Hallelujah. Bring the person to a place where he can fellowship with other believers. Hallelujah. There's something we yet see again. Hallelujah. In verse 20 of that Matthew 28, it says, Matthew 28:20, it says, teaching them to observe all things that commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now he tells us, Jesus has told us, make disciples. Now he's telling us how discipleship should be carried out. He says, via teaching them. Hallelujah. Therefore, I hear me now. He says, therefore, a strong local church I follow you.
A strong local church is a local church that is strong in teaching. A strong local church is a local church that is strong in teaching. Strong in teaching. Strong in teaching, grooming and raising men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A strong local church is a local church given to God's cause in the earth. What is God's cause in the earth? Make disciples. How? Teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 See, never gauge a local church. Never gauge a local church trust by numbers. No. Gauge a local church by what they hear. Numbers can just be a multiplication of error. So don't gauge a strong local church by numbers. Are you hearing me? Don't gauge a strong local church by numbers. Is numbers bad? No! Numbers is good. Hallelujah. But that is not what you gauge a local church with. Is how, is what? What is being taught? Glory to God. I follow you. What is being taught? And then also, never get carried away because someone by your side, or by your side, or around you, is having church and their numbers is more than yours. And all they do is miracle, miracle, and you are teaching, teaching. I had a conversation with some of our pastors. And we got some things like that in some parts of even in our country. Hallelujah. Amen. That it becomes almost impossible. Or where people begin to look at them and say, the word, no result. But, you know, you just need to have to stay with your conviction. Hallelujah. It's the word. Glory to God. The word. Amen. Never get carried away to start doing funny things like everybody should come with comb to church. What are we doing with comb? So you are combing out. You are not well. Come with sardine. No. No. Or let's do our cultural, church cultural. The everybody come with a cultural attire. If you now have somebody that is a baggy person, are you baggy? When you are not baggy, their cultural attire is that they will come naked. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. So, don't you know? Some people's culture will come. So, come in your cultural attire. What a church. But never get carried away. Glory to God. Stay with your conviction. Hallelujah. So, a strong local church is a local church that is strong in teaching. Strong in teaching. Jesus, in Acts 1, verse 3. Acts 1, 3, he taught his disciples for 40 days. Luke makes us see that. He taught his disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, the local church was strong on teaching. They were strong on teaching. Even in the book of Acts. The same book of Acts that some people are saying is full of, let me not go there. It's full of teaching. They are strong, they're strong in teaching. And they're strong on teaching to raise men. Strong on teaching to raise men, to raise disciples. I want to read it. Or put it like this, they were strong on teaching, raising disciples. Better food. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:42, I'll start from verse 41. Are you there? Acts 2 from verse 41. It says, and those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were done, were added. That means when those souls got saved, remember they are not disciples, right? What was the first thing they gave to them? Fellowship. They brought them in. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Were added to them. Okay, let's continue. Let's read ahead. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Did you see that? And fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Did you see that? So they were strong on teaching. In Acts 5:42, come on, Acts 5:42. It says, and daily, after they flogged them in verse 41 and asked them to go, and they rejoiced. And the Bible said, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What were they doing daily? Come on, what were they doing daily? Teaching and preaching. Did you see that? They were doing what? Teaching and preaching. Hallelujah. So they stopped in the temple and in the house, from house to house. Look at chapter 6, verse 4. Peter. He says, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they are giving it, so they give themselves to the ministry of prayer and teaching. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 11, verse 26. Let's read that together. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, were first in Antioch. This is that they taught people. So they were strong in teaching in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They were strong in teaching. Look at Acts 15, verse 35. Acts 15, 35. Hallelujah. Are you there? It says, Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, said, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Did you see that? That's the thing. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.
Okay.
And see how they do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 40 into 41. It says, and Paul chose Silas after there was great, after Barnabas left with Mark. Verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and went through Syria and Sicilia. Doing what? Doing what? Strengthening the churches, confirming the churches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how was he strengthening the churches? He was teaching. Did you see that? He was teaching. So strengthening the churches would imply following up their teaching. So he went ahead following up. Hallelujah. He did follow up. Teaching. Chapter 18 of Acts, verse 6. It says, but when they opposed him, that was Paul in Corinth. When they opposed him in Corinth and blasphemed, he said he shook his garment and said to them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man called named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Are you with me? Verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by vision, said, do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And they continued there how long? 1 year, 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul stayed in Corinth 1 year, 6 months, teaching them. He was teaching them 1 year, 6 months. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He stayed. Even if even after they were opposed him, he still stayed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, chapter 19, verse 7 into 10. He says, now men, chapter 19, he was in Ephesus, and he met 12 guys. He said, now the men were about 12 in all. Hallelujah. Verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew his disciples. Did you see that? He did what? Withdrew his disciples, reasoning daily in once in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for how long? For how long?
2 years.
So that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul taught his disciples for how long? 2 years stretch. I will see how he taught them 2 years. Look at chapter 20, verse 20. He says, now I kept nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and how? House to house. For 2 years. He taught them how long? Publicly and house to house. And remember, I told us that history have it that when he say house to house, he taught them every day. Hallelujah. Publicly, he taught them every day publicly and house to house. Glory to God. This is the same Paul that has a job. He has a handwork. But he didn't allow that stop him from doing the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, Acts 21, 21, 28, 31. Teaching. So the teaching of the word is always deliberate. The teaching of the word, let's put it, looking at the book of Acts, it said was deliberate. So it's deliberate. Discipleship is deliberate. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Discipleship is what? It's deliberate. It's not done abstractly. It's deliberate. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's see something. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. When using the word scripture, it's making reference to what? Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. From Genesis. So he said the teaching of the word is to the end that will do what? It says instruction in righteousness, paideia in diakosune, which is what? Spiritual growth. It's to the end that we grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Is to grow spiritually, right? The teaching of the word. Our spiritual growth, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. It says, for the equipping, perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you see that? He says, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the knowledge of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. That we should no longer be children. Did you see? Hallelujah. So spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Are you following me? Spiritual growth. Therefore, we can say, spiritual growth is also deliberate. It's deliberate. Discipleship, deliberate, right? Spiritual growth, deliberate. Or put it this way. Discipleship, deliberate. Teaching of the word, deliberate. Spiritual growth is deliberate. No one grows spiritually in isolation. It's a deliberate act of hearing the word. Deliberate act of being around when the world, where the world is taught, deliberate act of teaching and receiving the word. Deliberate act. So no one grows spiritually in isolation. No one. No one grows spiritually outside deliberate teaching of the word. So therefore, a strong local church is a church given to teaching. So the disciples being taught can also well explain the scriptures. Can also well explain the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:2, it said, Paul said to Timothy, the words you've heard from me amongst many witnesses, said the same coming to faithful men who also will be able to what? Instruct men. Hallelujah. Teach men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we say teaching is deliberate. Let's see what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. Are you following me? 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. It says, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. It says, rightly dividing the words of truth. Rightly dividing the words of truth. Glory to God. So in teaching, Paul tells Timothy to be diligent, which is what you can put to be deliberate. The deliberate act. Are you following me? Be deliberate. That is to say, be deliberate. Hallelujah. He says, be deliberate. Be diligent, be deliberate to present yourself as one approved of God. He says, a laborer. He calls him a laborer. That's the word egatis. Egatis, laborer. Therefore, teaching is called labor. Are you hearing? Teaching is called labor. Deliberate. No, you cannot be a worker. I am not deliberately a worker. You can't be a worker in the blues, right? You are deliberate. You are deliberate to work. Hallelujah. It says rightly dividing the works of truth. I want ototomio logon aletia. What he calls ototomio will mean, or what he calls ototomio, or that word ototomio will mean explaining scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing the words of truth. Because that was what they had as Bible then. So ototomio implies a straight course. A straight course to go through something. And it has an undertone of carefulness. You see that? So you know as well that as a pastor or as a believer, you also read through scripture. There's also carefulness in reading across scriptures. Carefulness in reading across scriptures. Carefulness. Therefore, a believer should be able to read through the 39 books and properly explain them well. Read and properly explain them well. Carefully. See, so you see, you hear some people, they don't get to some certain part of the scripture. They say, no, it's gone. No! It will be true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus too did the same thing. In Luke 24, he did the same thing. Hallelujah. Look at verse 27, Luke 24. Luke 24, 27. You see, I'm beginning at Moses. This is Jesus to his disciples. So his disciples on their way to Emmaus. He says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So when he says in all the scriptures, shows you that Jesus' Bible Jesus' Bible is Moses and all the prophets. Genesis to Malachi. That was what was called Bible. That was how Bible was called then. Was called what? Moses and all the prophets. Hallelujah. Genesis to Malachi. That implies that all Jesus' teachings, pre-crucifixion and in the resurrection, are explanation from the Old Testament book, or of the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. What we call the Old Testament teachings. The 39 books. Beginning at Moses. So he would, you know, something I skipped to tell us at the beginning is that we are taking the teaching again. The introduction will also come as a continuation of what we began to look at for understanding the gospel. So, like I said, it will lead into what we'll teach further into the year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it says in verse 27, when it says, he expounded. That word expounded is a word that means to explain. To explain. To teach. So what it shows is that Jesus explained the scriptures. It shows that Jesus explained the scriptures. You see, as I'm teaching like this, I'm deliberate, right? That is what I'm saying. He explained the scriptures. And he explained the scripture means that the 39 books, which is the Old Testament books, are books in need of explanation. The question now will not be why. The question will not ask is why. Why is it in need of explanation? Does it mean it cannot be known? Does it mean it cannot be read and understood on its own? Why must it be explained? Or is it hidden? In Luke 18, Jesus gave them a parable, and in verse 10, 9 to 10, the disciples came to him asking him, what do you mean by this parable? And he said to them, and they said, unto you it is given to know, he says, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries. The mysteries here is what he was saying to them before now in parables, which is the parable. This is that is what he calls, that's what he was referring to as mysteries. The parables. And when he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries. He means it's given to you to know the explanations from the 39 books. And he calls it mysteries. Let's just do a little backtrack on that word mysteries again. It's the word mysterion. Mysterion. It implies what is hidden. What is hidden. Kept. Secret. What is hidden? What is kept secret? It is from the root word mo, M-U-O, which implies to explain. It's from the root word mo, which implies to explain. And I told you that when you get to know a word and know this root word, that means in that definition of the definition of that word, it must carry what? The root word, right? So in the root word, it means to explain. It means the word mysterion will imply what is kept secret or hidden that needs explanation. Right? But then, what is kept secret that needs explanation? Oh, that means the scripture is hidden. No, before you conclude, look at it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another question we're not asked is, are scriptures in need of explanation?
Yes.
We will see this. Hallelujah.
Are they hidden? Is it hidden?
No. We will see that now. Hallelujah. I thought you said to you, Samuel, is what is hidden that it needs to be explained, something that is hidden that needs explanation. And yet to say scriptures, is scriptures in need of explanation? Yes. Are they hidden? No. So, sir, are you trying to confuse us? You know, I'm not trying to. I'm trying to explain to you well. Hallelujah. In Matthew 24, in Luke 24, from verse 17, those guys on their way to Emmaus, when Jesus joined them, in verse 17, he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you are having? One with another as you walk, and answer. And one whose name was Cleopas answered him and said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem, and you have not known the things which happened there these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and all the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping, did you see that? Mark that word. We were hoping that it was he who was going on within Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yet, certain of the women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us, for they did not find his body and came saying that they seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. I wanted to stop there for a moment. What was the issue here? Verse 19. It says, we were hoping. Is that verse 19 or 21? 21. It says, we were hoping he was with them. They are his disciples. And it says, we were hoping that it's not believing. At that place, you find not believing was what? The report of the women. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Jesus is in. Oh, Jesus is winning. We'll see that in the end of the year. At the end of the year. Hallelujah. So they came with a message. How about that? The message of Jesus' resurrection was delivered to the apostles by apostles who are women. Hallelujah. So the women became the apostles to the apostles. I love that word. Hallelujah. I heard it from Pastor Sheridan. Hallelujah. The apostles to the apostles. Glory to God. So they were unbelieving. That is the major issue. Right? And that will not necessitate the fact that Jesus will call them in verse 25. He says, fool and slow are to believe in all the prophet has said. Oh fools. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And slow are to believe in all the prophet has said. So they were unbelieving. In verse 44. Come on now. What question are we answering? Okay, and I said, no, I answered that. I said, no. Okay, then, okay, I didn't ask the next question. The next question will have been, so what then hides the word of God? Or what then hides the scripture? What then hides the word of God? And we began looking at Luke 24. Okay, verse 44. It says, and I said to them, these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, and all things must be fulfilled, were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened in the understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. You know, if you read this like this, you would think, yeah, hey, it was just the truth on their way to Emmaus that were unbelieving. Maybe you not have doubting Thomas because you read other journal. But there's something you quickly would miss out. You've missed out. Which will be what Luke has said in verses 24. He said, and certain of those with us went to the tomb. That was unbelief. Hallelujah. That was unbelief. They came, the women came with a report from the Lord, and you wanted to go and check for yourself. Seeing is believing, right? Was that different? Was that what they just did? Is it different from what Thomas did? No. Thomas came and said, the pastor has come and said, no, if I don't touch it, that was the same, except I seal my eyes. Right? When he was pierced and his side said, I will not believe. Glory to God. Seeing is believing. But that is a wrong statement. Never in scripture. Hallelujah. Scripture never teaches you seeing is believing. Rather, Jesus said, he said, blessed is he who sees not, hears believes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So see not is believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, it looks almost like the 11 were not unbelieving. Only two more. The rest were men of faith, men of the world. No. Hallelujah. They were all unbelieving too. Glory to God. Look at Mark 16, quickly. Verse 14. Mark 16, 14. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their what? He rebuked their what? Their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe that those who... Hallelujah. Because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Did you see that? He rebuked their unbelief. So, it was not only Thomas that was unbelievable. All of them were, including Peter, including James and John. They were all unbelievable. Are you following me? Now, you know the word, he rebuked their unbelief. That word rebuked is the word in the Greek, onedizo. Onedizo. O-N-E-I-D-E-I-Z-O. O-N-E-I-D-E-I-Z-O. Is a word. Okay. Is a word that doesn't have a direct meaning except contextual. The word that you cannot generalize, just like every other word, but this one, you have to read it well. Hallelujah. Because at some point it's used for, taunting, the way you taunt at someone. Hallelujah. Or to come against an action. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, at some point it's used for insult. King James called it how the word used for insult. You rebuke. Hallelujah. On a diesel. But it's a word that is vast in application, that you have to read it well to understand what it says. Hallelujah. Like I have in my notes, it's a word that must be read contextually so as not to read wrongly. Because if you look at Matthew 11 verse 20, this same word. Matthew 11:20. In fact, if you look at James, he said,
I don't have James in my notes today, but let someone else see, I'll bring that up.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, Matthew 11:20. He says, and he began to rebuild the city in which most of his mighty works have been done, because they did not repent. Did you see that? He rebuked the city. So how did he rebuke them? Look at verse 21. He rebuked them by saying, woe to you, Chorazin. This is Jonah. Are you seeing that? Did you see that? It's Jonah is reading for. It's Jonah. Hallelujah. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For is the mighty works which you've done, which was done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Hallelujah. So he brings, sackcloth and ashes, he brings in what? Jonah, right? For I say to you, But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the days of judgment than for you. And for you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you were done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father of heaven and earth, that you have hidden this thing from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so seemed good in your sight. All things have you delivered to me all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son will reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look at how you upgraded the city. How did he upgrade the city? He taught them. Did you see that? And he tells them to what? Learn of him. Did you see that? So that word, to learn of me, is the word used for discipleship. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. So he taught them. So you upbraided the cities. And how did you upbraid the cities? You rebuilt them by teaching. Remember when we read in 2 Timothy, he says, all scripture given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. Right? Right? Prose doctrine. Doctrine is profitable for what? Come on. For reproof. Right? Reproof. Hallelujah. Reproof. Reproof will bring about what? Correction. Correction, instruction, and righteousness. Look at chapter 4. He now gives him an instruction. 2 Timothy 4. Quickly. Now he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in the kingdom, say, preach the word, please, ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, that is teaching. So, teaching of the word will carry rebuke. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, in the teaching of the word, we receive rebuke, that is correction from wrong activities. Hallelujah. Correction from wrong activities, which many times, just like what Jesus just did in Matthew 11, we sometimes might involve a sharp rebuke, a sharp one. Hallelujah. A sharp rebuke. With words. Hallelujah. Sharp rebuke. Paul too will employ such kind of rebuke. Remember we're looking at the book of Corinth, right? The same book of Corinth. So Paul will employ such sharp rebuke also. When he wrote to the church in Corinth, we'll find it too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You get to 1 Corinthians 5. That brother that had his father's wife. If you look at verses 1 into 2. He says, now, okay, verse 2, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from amongst you. Did you see that? He rebuked everything. He said, you are supposed to have mourned. He says, such, in verse 1, he says, such kind of act cannot even be found among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. That a man should have his father's wife. So Paul used that same sharp rebuke. How, who did he rebuke? He rebuked the whole church. One could say he rebuked the elders of the church. He rebuked the whole church because none of them actually did anything to what the body has done. Hallelujah. So because of one man's offense, he rebuked the whole church. Hallelujah. He rebuked the whole church because of one man's offense. They acted
people, they acted hypocritically. They acted like hypocrites. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to see that as we read. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In chapter 10, he rebuked their actions also as regards being sacrificed to idols. As regards idol worship. Hallelujah. He rebuked it. In chapter 8, as regards food sacrifice to idols, he rebuked them. Hallelujah. You find sharp. So meaning when we get to the book of 1 Corinthians, we'll find sharp rebukes. Hallelujah. We'll find rebuke. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in Matthew 16:14, they were all unbelieving, not just Thomas. Glory to God. Not just Thomas. All of them were unbelieving. And Jesus will rebuke them by what he did within the 40 days. So when that when they and rebuked their unbelief in Mark 16:40, when he used that word and he rebuked their unbelief, right? What was he referring to? That is what he did within the 40 days. He taught them. Are you following me? So that rebuke is teaching. Hallelujah. So that means he taught them. So when I read Luke 24:44-45, say that what I spoke to you while I was still with you. That is the review. Say all things will be fulfilled, which is in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and Samson, and me. And then he opened his understanding, 40 days teaching, right? That they might comprehend the scriptures. Glory to God. So unbelief hides the word of God. Unbelief hides the word of God. Not God hiding his word. No, it's unbelief. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Furthermore, let's see this. Let's see the resultant effect of this teaching. Right? Glory to God. What is ours? In Daniel 24, when Jesus was done with them in verses 31, verse 32, look at their response. Okay, 31. Then, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Their eyes were opened, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, and while he opened the scripture to us? Did our hearts burn within us? So, where was the issue? The issue was in their heart. Was in their words. When I mean heart, it means their understanding. See that their eyes were open. Look at verse 44. Verse 45. When he was not teaching them, what happened? He said, and he opened their understanding. Are you seeing that? That they might understand the scriptures. Now the second one understand, the second understand is the word comprehend the scriptures. Sunemai. Hallelujah. So you see the word, and you open their understanding. That word open is the word dialogio. Dialogio in the Greek. Dialogio. It means to open what was previously shut. What was previously locked, closed. So what this implies is that man's understanding, what it implies is that it is in man's understanding that the scriptures is hidden. The scripture itself is not hidden. Rather, it's hidden in man's understanding. So, man's belief or unbelief will be found in his understanding of scriptures. Remember, it is understanding that man needs to, that man needs to function in the earth. Are you following this? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is understanding that man needs to function in the earth. So, where will you find that? Let me just say it. So, that it's in the understanding that you find belief and unbelief. It's very important. It's something that I plan to still break for us. Amen. Subsequently. Hallelujah. But quickly, when a man believes, hallelujah. Okay, maybe as we get into the second section, you'll see. Hallelujah. So, man's belief and unbelief will be found in this understanding of scriptures. So the understanding is what man needs to function in the earth. Hope you know that. Know what you mean? So Paul, knowing this, will now bring it in 1 Corinthians 14. See the way we are relating it to where we will later get to. We've not got to 1 Corinthians. We're not there yet at all. We're just having an intro. This intro will further help us as we, when we are done with 1 Corinthians, we'll get to look at Galatians. It will really help us well. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 23 to 24. It says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed and unbelievers, will they not say you are out of your mind? Did you see that? Will they not say you are out of your mind? Look at what Paul has done. Hallelujah. So Paul brings this in, knowing this, now write this. So, I mean, to say that the things of the Spirit will not be understood by an uninformed man, right, and an unbeliever. Did you see that? That's what he has done. They never know to come together in one place and not speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed. Unbelievers. Did you see that? He didn't call the uninformed unbeliever, so no. Hallelujah. There, but his hand, no. Hand is there, it's not used for. Jonathan Essential is called, so they comes in unbelievers, or on the uninformed and the unbelievers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So these are the two that will not understand the things of the Spirit. Though the unbeliever and the uninformed believer, no, the uninformed is a believer. The unbeliever is an unbeliever. Hallelujah. So, though the unbeliever and the uninformed believer are not on the same scale, you can't put them on the same scale. One is an unbeliever, one is a believer, but he's uninformed. Do you understand? You can't put them on the same scale. Because one is saved and the other is not saved. Yes, they have a common ground. What is the common ground? Lack of information concerning spiritual things. And where will they have that information first? In their mind. Are you following you? The man who is saved has the Spirit of God, for he's not informed. So he can't walk. The man who is an unbeliever does not have the Spirit of God, so he does not have the Spirit and does not have any information. Did you see? So they have a balance. Where is their balance? They are both uninformed. So where is that information supposed to be? In their mind. So therefore they would act the same way in the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? So what has Paul done? He has just brought them together. He has united them together. Hallelujah. And what is the uniting factor? Information. Glory to God. Glory to God. Which is their minds, right? Therefore, the lack of the practice of God's word, or put it like this, lack of practice of God's word, okay, that's better said, lack of practice of God's word, which can be a function of what? On being uninformed, right? 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 Okay. Okay, lack of the practice of God's word makes a believer act as though he's not saved. It makes a believer act like an unbeliever. And in Luke, and in that same 1 Corinthians 6:11, he stated something that is very clear. 6:11, he stated something that is very clear. Very clear. He says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He puts it very clear that though he or she act like an unbeliever, it doesn't change the fact that you are washed, you are sanctified. It doesn't change that fact. Hallelujah. Are you following me? This is the fact about you. You are washed. You are saved. Hallelujah. Though you are acting beside yourself, it doesn't make you what? Who you are. I mean, if it doesn't stop you from being who you are, though you are acting beside yourself. Hallelujah. Are you following me? This is who you are. So Paul states it clearly. This is who you are. Hallelujah. But though lack of information cannot make you behave what? Like the unbeliever. The practice of God's word. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll get to see all this as we progress. As like I said, we are still doing in background. We've not even gotten to comment. You are just doing background. From background, we now move to see Paul, and then we're not even close. But as we are having a background, we're looking at these things together. Hallelujah. Therefore, the understanding hides the word of God. Man's understanding hides the word of God. And the reason why the 39 books need to be explained, or put, and a reason why the 39 books needs to be explained, which will find Jesus and the apostles do in the four gospels and in their epistles, showing you that the Old Testament 39 books are books in need of explanation. Hallelujah. First, because of the kind of audience that they have, that they will get to write to, so that they have, so they will have to be explained to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we'll continue in the next 15 minutes.